Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Mrs. Murphy's second grade class was very excited. They were preparing for Grandparents' Day at school. They were going to perform a skit and sing a song. Then their grandparents could sit with them at their desks and see some of their classwork. Allie put her head down on her desk. "What's the matter?" Mrs. Murphy gently asked.
"My grandma lives too far away to come," she said. "I wish she could be here to see what I can do."
"I have an idea," replied Mrs. Murphy. "Why don't we use a camera tomorrow? Maybe your dad could come and take some pictures of you in the skit." Allie's face brightened. "And maybe I'll write my grandma a letter, all by myself, about our day. She'll like that."
"I bet she will," her teacher agreed.
From a parent's perspective, how can we help our children and their important adults keep connected over long-distance separations? I'm Sandy Burton.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest today has become an expert at keeping in touch with her children and grandchildren over very long distances. Connie Camero has a daughter in California with her husband and three children, and another daughter in Israel with her husband and two children, and a son who lives in Ohio. Connie lives with her husband in Maryland, so all these loved ones live very far away. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Connie.
Thank you very much for having me here. I'm very excited, and this is a subject I feel very qualified to speak about, as you can imagine. But I didn't expect you to tell that story, Sandy, because I have one solution that you didn't mention. When this came up in California, we enlisted the aid of an old family friend who acted as surrogate, and she came and did those things that I would normally do, and went to Grandmommy and Me art classes and Grandparents' Day as well.
What a good idea.
It's a great idea. Yeah. Look for the friends that you have where your children are. Why is it important to keep in touch with faraway loved ones?
Well, first and foremost, because we love them. And we want to keep that love fresh and meaningful. It's also important to have a sense of belonging. Everyone needs a sense of belonging. After all, it is part of who you are.
What's the trap that parents can easily fall into when a special grown-up lives far away?
As parents of grown children, we feel the need to let our children know we love them and are always available for them, but not to be overly protective. This is the most destructive way you can treat a grown-up child, to treat them as a child.
Well, how does that work over a long distance, though?
You can call them every day. You can call them five times a day. You can be critical of what they're doing. You can do things. We have friends, we've seen this, who do all the little things that we would do if they were living in town. "Ma, my car's broken down." Calling from long distance, for you to call long distance to get someone to fix their car.
Oh, I never heard of that.
You know, "I can't go on this trip because I have to go and move my grown-up child, help them move." Hmm. Not because they have children to care for or something, because they're too young to do it for themselves.
Hmm. So it's really a parenting trap rather than a distance trap.
The other part of it is to be sure that you let them know. That's too overprotective. You have to let them know you're always here for them. You'll always love them. You're happy with what they're doing, and you'll always support whatever they're doing.
But you trust that they can manage when they're not right under
your
nose.
Even if they're far away.
Yeah.
What are some ways of keeping in touch that have worked best for your family?
Isn't email wonderful? If you are lucky enough to have access to email, I have canvassed our very large family, extended family, and have made up an email list, which I keep correcting. But there are benefits to that, too, because when people send me corrections or when they get the list and I tell them to please print it and save it, but they send me little notes, "Thank you. Oh, today we took our grandson to college for the first time." Whatever it may be, it's a way to get feedback from each other. needless to say, keeping in touch with grandchildren who are on the computer all the time and with email, you can chat, you can get instant feedback. In the middle of the night, whichever time zone you're in, you can still sit down and keep in touch with them. Send them jokes, depending on their age. Knock-knock jokes are still around, ladies, and it's wonderful. The telephone is a wonderful way to stay in touch, and it's wonderful to hear a voice. You can get nuances of fatigue or unhappiness or happiness, whatever it may be, and maybe you can spend time chatting and work through it with them. It's very important, but don't be upset. Phone calls need not cost a fortune. We have called around and called around and called around and gotten the very best prices. After all, we are making lots of overseas calls. And we have cut our phone bill by $100 a month. And
change.
It is a big change. So that's another way to do it. Sending pictures. If you were here, I would show you the pictures I carry around with me. I showed Linda and Sandy earlier of my 5 grandchildren and some of my great nieces and nephews.
Our listeners will have to imagine they're all gorgeous.
I don't leave home without them. I want them to share my day with me, even if it's only in my heart and mind. And I also send my daughters pictures of the other's family and vice versa to Debbie and Jackie so that they can share each other's family pictures and moments. I mail out-of-season costume jewelry, things I'm never going to wear again, and they can play dress-ups, or they can wear them because they may have become fashionable again. Old clothes for dress-ups, little boxes. I have come to their house and found that the boxes are up on a shelf being treasured. These little tiny things which are easy to mail. And I happen to have collected boxes, so I just take a few out of my collection and send them. It doesn't matter what you send. It's that they're receiving something. And we often send things without a reason, just mm-hmm. because I love you.
Surprise.
And we don't send, particularly the family with 3 children, I don't send one for each. I send one. I saw this, I thought of you, and it's your special treat. My husband likes to send what he calls walking around money. Now, this can be whatever amount you want it to be, and he doesn't send it on a regular basis. So this, again, is something that is a surprise that they can look forward to, but know it will happen eventually.
It's not something they count on. It's a right. treat when it comes.
And needless to say, tooth money. I've made each grandchild a quilt. And the quilts have a label on them which say, made especially for you with love by Grandma Connie. I tell them when I give it to them, and I remind them frequently that when they climb in bed and get under their quilt, I am hugging them and kissing them goodnight.
Oh, what a wonderful thought. Yeah.
And my grandson, who's almost 20 in Israel and who's in the Israeli Air Force, won't part with his quilt. It's falling apart. It's been repaired countless times. And he still said, oh, no, I don't want a new quilt. This is mine. And it's very special to him. I wanted to tell you about postcards, because postcards are inexpensive. They're fun to pick out, or you can buy them in bulk from the post office. But a child will enjoy looking at the scenery and picking out something special. My 10-year-old grandson in California went on a 2-week trip to Yellowstone with his parents and sent me 4 postcards. That's because his mother used to receive postcards from us when we went away and started a lifelong hobby of collecting postcards. He sent these to me, and I just want to share one with you. It has a wonderful picture on the front of a gray wolf. I am still having a wonderful time. It is so beautiful, underlined exclamation points. I wish you were here to see it all. P.S. Keep in touch.
Aww. Has he heard that before?
In touch.
I don't know. Maybe he read it on one of his mother's postcards or something, or maybe it's a current expression. I don't know.
When my father used to be an arbitrator a number of years ago, and my boys were all quite young, he would always go to lots of different cities, and he would say, well, what can I bring them back? And I would always say, just write a postcard. So the kids have a shoebox full of postcards, and they used to look forward to getting those postcards. That was a big deal. We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion.
The excellent new book, Parents as Mentors, by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is a practical guide to bringing out the abilities in your child. Parents as Mentors is available at all bookstores.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Connie Camero about ways to keep in touch with loved ones who live far away.
It turns out that my daughter became a librarian, and she has file boxes, and she's categorized them, and she has probably at this point 20,000 postcards.
From all different places?
From all over the world.
And that also, of course, helps children if they have to do any kind of projects
yes,
for school.
Indeed.
They have
yes,
a picture of whatever
very
it is.
Very interesting pictures.
When our daughter in Israel, when they were stationed in Korea, her children were quite young, and we used to make a tape for each of them of movies and things from television, cartoons, whatever shows they liked that were age-appropriate. They're 4 years apart, and it was just for them. It was their tape, and we would fill it up and send it off to them, and they loved it. In fact, every once in a while, our granddaughter still asks us to please make her a tape of some movie or other, like you used to.
And she's almost 16, right?
Yes. Sometimes you can send a note and remind children of happy times you've had when you've been together. And I think that's a wonderful way of staying in touch, too. Mm. When we go to visit, we take each child individually out for the evening. Remember what we did when we went. My grandson, who is 10, took me to dinner. He sold a collection of whatever is being collected now, and he used the money to take me to dinner.
Oh, that's adorable.
Oh, my goodness.
He ordered from the menu for me, and then I reminded him he needed to leave a tip. And he looks through his pocketbook.
There's no money.
And he kind of, well, he was down toward the end, but he did. Sending pictures of yourselves, I do. I send old pictures when we were that age. And whatever the picture was about, our 16-year-old daughters, my husband and I were dating when we were 16. And so I can send them pictures of us at a dance or wherever it was that we were, or in the park having a picnic. And hopefully they can relate to us better as having once been their age and doing their things.
That's really cute.
That's a wonderful idea.
Strangely enough, my friend in California that I mentioned earlier just sent me some pictures because she's going through albums doing the same thing.
Oh, how fun. So now you have more pictures to send.
On the phone, you can hear piano playing, violin playing. Sometimes you can barely hear it. Do you want to hear another piece? Yeah, sure, I'd love to. But the child is excited to share it with you. And it's wonderful to hear what they're accomplishing as well.
What about using audio tapes for something like that? The child
can
tape
glad
himself.
You mentioned that. My husband's father used to tell his grandchildren Billy Boy stories. Billy Boy was an imaginary talking horse who lived in Baltimore, and he used to pull a fire engine in the days when that was done. And he would tell stories, made-up stories, each one individual. And all the grandchildren loved it. Well, all of his children repeated those stories to their children. My husband made a tape sitting on the beach several afternoons of Billy Boy stories for his grandchildren so they could listen to them whenever they wanted. When other nieces and nephews heard about this, they requested copies too. There's so many ways you can think up to do this. It happens that our daughter in Israel has in-laws who are professional singers, and they made a tape of music singing to their grandchildren.
So it goes both ways. The grandchildren can make tapes and send them to the grandparents and vice versa.
Right.
Connie, does it matter who initiates long-distance contact? Sometimes we hear of grown-ups who are standing on ceremony. They haven't been called in 3 weeks or so on and so forth. How do we deal with that?
Well, most families all have small imperfections, except yours and mine.
Right.
Who cares who called last? It's really immaterial, and I can't remember the last time my mother called me, so I just call her, that's all. There was an old joke, and I'm sorry if you've heard this, about an old lady who's waiting for her son to call. She's waiting and waiting, and at long last, he calls, and she said, "I'm near death." And he said, "Why, mother?" She said, "I haven't had a thing to eat in 45 days. "Why haven't you eaten in 45 days? "I was afraid I would have food in my mouth when you called and I wouldn't be able to speak to you." Our 10-year-old grandson in California entices us to visit by saying, "Come and visit. I have a present for you." When I get there, he does indeed have a present, and he puts a rose on my pillow.
What a romantic fellow with the out to dinners and the roses on the pillow. That's
sounds like he could answer this question. I was going to ask you, what ideas would you encourage for young children, toddler and preschool ages?
Well, my daughter in California used to send me tapes of them singing and babbling and talking as they were able to, telling me stories, videos of them doing their activities, whatever it may be, swinging in a swing endlessly, talking on the phone. So they get used to your voice, and you can hear their precious voices.
Did you ever get their lovely artworks and hang those up in your
kitchen? Oh, yes, of course I've gotten their lovely artworks, which have decorated my kitchen. In fact, I have friends whose children also, because they know I don't have any anymore, make me pictures because my poor refrigerator is bare.
What kinds of keeping in touch responsibilities can elementary school-age children take?
I just mentioned postcards earlier, and they're fun, and they're inexpensive. You can order pre-printed stickers with your name and address, which they can put on the postcards. You can even put postage on there for them. Whatever will encourage them to start correspondence with you, and you can keep in touch, as my grandson said.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion.
For an audio cassette copy of Any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Connie Camero about ways to keep in touch with loved ones who live far away.
When I was growing up, there was a lot of artwork going on in my house, and so we made our own cards for our grandparents and other relatives when it was a birthday.
I've certainly gotten those. And the next thing I was going to mention, handmade gifts, the hand in the clay, the paperweights in clay. My granddaughter was 3 years old in Texas and made a pair of boots and crayoned them as a three-year-old would, which I still have in a cabinet. In fact, don't open some of my cabinets. All these things will come tumbling out. I was thinking, and it came to me this morning, that we needed some less expensive things that children could do for grandparents. And the old potato that you can carve and dip in food coloring and stamp on things and make pictures or monogram something for your grandparent.
Oh, what fun.
Also, trace pictures from coloring books onto fabric. On a pot holder? On an apron? On a T-shirt? Mm-hmm. On anything. You can find remnants in fabric stores, and they can be quite inexpensive. You can even buy tablecloths on sale or at yard sales and do this with them.
It's a good point. Artwork done on fabric is much longer lasting than artwork done on paper. What if you, as the grandparent, do try to keep in touch, but you're not getting much response?
Then something is wrong. Have a talk with your child, not your daughter-in-law, if that's what it is, but your own child who you have brought up with values you hope they have learned. Maybe your grandchild is overloaded with schoolwork, and then you can find that out. Or perhaps something else is bothering them. Whatever it is, you can learn and perhaps adjust whatever it is you're doing for them to help them out of this time. Also, it lets your child know that they have a responsibility, too, to be sure that your grandchildren keep in touch with you. And sometimes in their busy, hectic schedules, they forget to do that.
I read in a magazine that one family's idea was to have a legal envelope, a big envelope, and every time a child made something or did something or whatever it was, they just stuff it in the envelope. When the envelope got full, they mailed it to the grandparents.
That's a terrific idea.
What about when there isn't much money to travel to see loved ones in distant places? What kinds of substitute visits can be used?
Well, we talked about handmade items before. They can be treasures from your own household. Even a hanky or an old apron becomes a treasure to your grandchild. I have a thing that says napkins that I have in my linen closet that my mother made as a teenager, and I have that treasured in my closet. My grandmother made for me when I became engaged a bread liner, and the bread liner has become a family treasure. She made two of them, we found. The first one had a mistake because she didn't read or write English, and she was, in essence, following a pattern. Mm-hmm. And that mistake was discovered. She rolled it up and stuck it in the back of a drawer, which we, many, many years after she passed away, found. Our daughter in California finished the piece. I had it framed for her, and it's hanging in her dining room with a legend underneath telling the whole story. But the second one that my grandmother made, the one she made that I used, my daughter in Israel was kind of looking at, and I said, okay, would you like to have this one? So in the legend for both of them, my daughter in California made a sign for each of them. It tells that one copy is in California and the other is in Israel. And they each have a piece of my grandmother living with them.
I think you talked also about tapes. Did you have other ideas of how people send, what kinds of things families send back and forth and share?
Well, my daughters and I send each other articles from newspapers and magazines we think would be of interest. And now that my grandchildren are older, I do the same with them. It happens that I had just received something from California about the Museum of Tolerance, which my daughter thought that I would be interested in. I haven't yet read it. It just arrived. But that's the kind of thing we send back and forth. And yesterday, my husband sent an article about the making of the Oxford English Dictionary to our librarian daughter. Mm-hmm. I sent, the day before, a picture of Blue Men Group, which I had taken our oldest grandchild to see when he visited the States. So I sent him a picture from a magazine, and I said, this made me think of you.
Well, we're so fortunate to have had Connie Camero here to share with us some of her ideas on how to keep in touch with loved ones who are far away. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Parents as Mentors. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573. That's 1-800-791-8573. And let us know also what station you're listening to. We have listeners now all across the country, so it's nice to know where you're tuning in. We'd like to send you Parents as Mentors. Parents as Mentors is available at all major bookstores and on the web. For an audio cassette copy of any Parents Perspective show, just send a $5 check or money order to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015. That's P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C.
20015. You can reach Parents Perspective through your local station or call our toll-free number 1-800-791-8573. You can also email us at parentsper@aol.com. That's parentsper@aol.com. To learn more about us and our book, Parents as Mentors, visit our website. It's a shortcut address, http://i.am/parentsperspective, all one word. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.